Richard the King Petty joined us earlier this week from the Barrett Jackson auction in Scottsdale, Arizona. So many things that we hit with him that, you know what? We're going to air the entire interview for you. It's the King. Not many people mean more to NASCAR than this guy and really what he's done for the series over the last 50 plus years. It's Richard the King Petty joining the Freaks in the Lucas Oil Studios. Richard Petty, we know the history that you've had in NASCAR and how sponsorship. NASCAR would not float, many decades would not float without sponsorship partners. When did you first see the importance, okay, STP, of partnerships to float a business, to float a team? Do you remember how long ago that was?
Really, 1972, STP came on board. They were the first sponsor of a race car. I mean, you had sponsors, but not nationwide sponsors, okay? So they were the first big sponsor to come on. And when they did that, then other companies started to realize, hey, we can use the cup racing to our advantage, too. So the first thing you know, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And lately, those kind of fell off the deal. It's not working like what it used to. But, you know, the cup still depends on outside monies to really make it work. So we're still struggling along with it, but everybody's doing the same thing.
Sponsorships are absolutely necessary to keep, well, the business of NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One afloat. But at the same time, they can sometimes be a necessary evil in which maybe not the greatest talent gets a ride, whereas a guy coming with money gets it instead. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting situation.
Well, yeah, it works both ways. I mean, if you're a big company and you're wanting to advertise your product and you put it on a race car, then you got to have a pretty decent driver. But he's got to be able to operate with the people that you're trying to sell your product to. In other words, you got the best driver in the world, you have to put him in a cage, he can't talk to people, then he's not going to sell your product.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you got a good salesman and he's not a good driver, he's sort of in between. So it's lesser of both evils, I guess, is when you really look at it.
We've seen big names in the sport, maybe John Force or Mario Andretti, tell stories about what they had to do for their sponsors. John Force comes to mind right now because he had to wear a Wendy's costume once to help sell Wendy's hamburgers. What's the craziest thing you've done, Richard Petty?
Not really. I know when we first went in, started operating with STP, they had been running at Indy, and they had these uniforms for all their crew. They had little STP stickers all over them. And my brother said, look, if we got to wear them uniforms, tell them guys to go home. We're not wearing them uniforms. So, you know, after that, we kind of done what we wanted to do, and it worked out pretty good for years.
They but did. Richard, that was 70s fashion.
No, they looked like pajamas.
Yeah. They did.
Well, we was from central North Carolina, out in the country. Those things just didn't look right. Looked like you said, you just got out of bed with them, you know what I mean? And it just didn't work in our part of the country.
Richard Petty, the King Richard Petty. Nobody has more wins and championships than this guy. Richard Petty joining us, thanks to our friends at Continental Tires. It's an interesting situation with NASCAR racing in general, where you have the NBA and basketball, which maybe 30 years ago didn't depend on sponsorship so much. Now they do, where you have Lucas Oil Stadium. You've got Home Depot Stadium. Right. To where they understand the effects of sponsorship with these teams, and they've really got to be able to try and at least control to some degree their players because of the adverse effect it might have on their sponsors, which is something that you have always had to pay attention to.
Yeah, we've always had to pay attention to that because, you know, our sport has been more of probably of all sports, we're probably the most family-oriented because, you know, you got the Earnhardts or the, you know, Pearsons and the Petties and, you know, you got all these guys, Bakers, all these guys, Allisons, you know, all these come family deals, and, you know, and we just take the kids to the race with us and take the wife and, you know, you went to do the job, but you also was living with it. So when the deal where you come out one end of the stadium and go out and play and then go out, you had to get along with a spectator and, you know, kind of started out that we as drivers and owners had to say, okay, that spectator up there bought a ticket. We got to take time to talk to him.
Wow.
Because he's our sponsor. Without him, we wouldn't be here. And even after the sponsors come in, we still had to do the same thing because the sponsors is trying to sell to that guy too. So, you know, it's been more of a probably a closer knit situation. But like you say, once NASCAR was able to do that, then other entities looked at it and said, hey, why can't we do that? So won't be long. You'll see them wearing patches on their uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff just like what the race car drivers do.
Richard Petty, the King Richard Petty, seven-time NASCAR champion, joining us here in the Freaks Pits. What sport do you think is NASCAR's biggest competition right now?
Well, football is everybody's competition.
Okay, football aside.
Well, then, you know, right now we're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Okay, baseball, basketball. Basketball probably is coming on pretty good. Soccer, I think soccer is coming on pretty good because of the younger generation, because these kids play soccer, you know, in their community. They play soccer in their schools, stuff like that. Where when we came along, we didn't know what soccer was. I mean, we played football, and that was as tough as we got. But now, you know, you got a new generation. So how do we, as race people, or football fans, or basketball, whatever, how do we get to that younger generation? Because that's going to be our future. So I think everybody's sort of hitting not a wall yet, but they're trying to figure out really which way to go to try to get the younger generation to look at their sport.
You know, you bring up a good point, though. When you talk about the younger generation, NASCAR has gone through decades of changes, up and down, different names being at the top of the list. Right now, NASCAR has a great crop of rookies that are very talented, yet I still hear from fans that they're frustrated it's not Earnhardt, Gordon, Stewart.
Okay.
When are we going to get over that?
Okay, well, if you look back 15 years ago, nobody had ever heard tell of those guys.
Exactly.
Okay. They had to work their way to the top of the deal. Same way as it did when I come through. If you look at NASCAR, in about every 12, 15 years, you got a new bunch of people running the show as far as the stars and stuff that they have. But you don't come in as a star. You got to come in and work your way to it. I mean, Earnhardt wasn't a star to begin with. Jeff Gordon wasn't a star to begin with. They had to come in and work their way because they had to work past the guys that were the stars.
But do you think audiences are just too impatient now?
Well, again, I don't know what the new generation thinks, okay? The generations that we came through were able to suck it up and said, after two or three years, they said, okay, we're going to pull for this guy instead of that guy. Our guy went home, we could be picking a new guy. You know, what comes in the future is anybody's guess.
Richard Petty, the King Richard Petty, with us. Dale Earnhardt's death set forth safety that no one would have believed was possible in racing and NASCAR specifically. Hans device, the cars itself. Soft walls. A lot of folks don't understand the significance that you helped with stock car racing and safety. The safety net. Maybe different positioning of the seat. What else did you do to assist?
Well, you got to figure when NASCAR first started, they didn't even have roll bars in the car. My dad was the first one to put a roll bar in a stock car. They was in modifieds and stuff, but in a stock car in 1953. So once NASCAR said, we might need that, so they let everybody do it. And all that, most of the stuff that came along for safety and stuff was probably invented or brought about by car owners or drivers saying, hey, we need to be a little bit safer. And then, you know, in the 60s and stuff, we had some fires and stuff. They started with the fire extinguishers. Then we got safety tires, you know, airliners in the safety tires.
Wow.
And then everything just sort of floated along for a long time. And then I lost my grandson. We lost a boy in the truck race. We lost Earnhardt. NASCAR said, you know, we better do something. Okay. And
Kenny Irwin, Adam Petty, Tony Roper.
Right, and it's the same way now with the football deal. They're just now owning up the concussions. Okay, they knew there was a long – I mean, we've had concussions too. And even NASCAR is looking at concussions now. Where, I mean, you got knocked out, then they'd bring you to and put you back in a race car, you know, same way as they did in football. So everybody is a lot more conscious of safety, no matter whether it's football or – basketball, anything. They're just trying to make it that much safer for everybody. Racing probably came the longest way because they had the furthest to go.
It doesn't look good with Continental Tire or Lowe's on the side of your car and you see a driver that's injured, I'm sure sponsors and big-time corporations say, we need to fix this thing. These guys with the head issues and shoulders and broken this, broken that, well, you had to answer the bell, didn't you?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You don't watch a football game if they don't carry two or three people off the field.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you say, okay, that's just part of the sport. And so the racing crowd from inside out accepted that's just part of it. If anything's happening, it's going to happen to somebody else. It's not going to happen to us.
We wouldn't care if it wasn't dangerous, would we? We wouldn't care.
There's an element of excitement there.
Yeah. I think if there's a wreck, everybody wants to see it, but they're not sitting there waiting for it.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not a deal they come to the race to see a wreck. But like I say, if they're there, they don't want to miss it. So it's the same thing when playing a football game or stuff. You know, they have replays to find out just how this guy broke his leg or whatever it is. Scares the far out of me watching it.
What's the worst problem you've had with your body when you got back into a car? Broken arm, broken leg, concussion. What was the worst time that Richard Petty got in the car?
The worst thing that ever happened to me was carbon monoxide. You know, breathing in all the fumes and stuff like that. But, you know, if you broke a leg or broke some ribs or broke your neck, you got back in a race car. Well, no big deal. You know what I mean? I mean, that was our job. Okay, and you really didn't think that much about it. You just taped yourself up and took a bunch of goodies or something to, you know, kill the pain, jump in there and go. God.
Have you won a race with a broken something?
Half the race that I won, something was broke. Okay, you know.
Wow.
But anyhow, that was just a part of growing up, I guess, you know.
Richard Petty, the King Richard Petty, he's been coming to the Freak Nation for many, many years. One of the most kindest, gentle men you'll ever meet. Has every reason to be an a-hole. Has every reason to say, I'm not coming on your show. Your popularity.
He's going to want me to pay him for this. Right?
Well, no, it is something we've noticed. You, Mario Andretti, Johnny Rutherford.
H.A. Floyd.
You guys are in rare air. You're amazing. You are legendous in the sport of motorsports, yet you're also very kind and amenable. You're very generous with your time as well.
One of the things that's made those gentlemen as popular as they are is because of that. If they had just drove race cars and went home, you know, people wouldn't have heard tell them. They go out, and they don't do it intentionally. In their mind, that's the way things need to be done. In other words, they treat people like they want to be treated. And I think they go by the golden rule as much as anything.
Can you tell some of the younger drivers that now? Can you guys all coach
well,
them?
Well, it's again,
I can't
explain the new generation because I got kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. So I'm in the middle of all that stuff.
Richard, it's always a pleasure when you roll in the Freak Nation, buddy. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, guys.
Statman, you wouldn't expect anything different from the King, would you?
No, I was just sitting back, my eyes closed, just enjoying the conversation with truly a great man. He's done some things that are probably questionable, but that's what he grew up in. That was his culture, but he's grown from that and always reminds me of the great line from Muhammad Ali, the man who thinks the same way at 50 as he did at 30, has wasted 20 years of his life. And Richard Petty hasn't wasted any of his life. He's a grown man and continues to grow with a sport that needs to keep up with him.
When you have a guy like Richard Petty come over and hang at your display area, we were in the Continental Tires display for Barrett Jackson most of the week, and he's part of Continental Tire, Richard Petty's garage. When he comes over, it's an interesting mix of people. It's young, old, male, female, because of the significance of really what he represents and is represented in NASCAR. It's just that hat walking up to you, the boots, always has some kind of black on. It's just greatness.